ವೈದ್ರೌಣ್ಯಸ್ತ್ರ ವಿಪ್ಲುಷ್ಟೋ ನಾಮಾತುರ್ ಉದರೇ ಮೃತಃ ಅನುಗ್ರಹಾತ್ ಭಗವತಃ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ಯಾದ್ಭುತ ಕರ್ಮಣಃ ಸೂತ ಉವಾಚ ಯೋ ವೈದ್ರೌಣ್ಯಸ್ತ್ರ ವಿಪ್ಲುಷ್ಟೋ ನಾಮಾತುರ್ವುದರೇ ಮೃತಃ ಅನುಗ್ರಹಾತ್ ಭಗವತಃ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ಯಾದ್ಭುತ ಕರ್ಮಣಃ ಸೂತ ಉವಾಚ ಯೋ ವೈದ್ರೌಣ್ಯಸ್ತ್ರ ವಿಪ್ಲುಷ್ಟೋ ನಾಮಾತುರ್ವುದರೇ ಮೃತಃ ಅನುಗ್ರಹಾತ್ ಭಗವತಃ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ಯಾದ್ಭುತ ಕರ್ಮಣಃ ಸೂತ ಉವಾಚ ಯೋ ವೈದ್ರೌಣ್ಯಸ್ತ್ರ ವಿಪ್ಲುಷ್ಟೋ ನಾಮಾತುರ್ವುದರೇ ಮೃತಃ ಅನುಗ್ರಹಾತ್ ಭಗವತಃ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ಯಾದ್ಭುತ ಕರ್ಮಣಃ ಸೂತ ಉವಾಚ ಯೋ ವೈದ್ರೌಣ್ಯಸ್ತ್ರ ವಿಪ್ಲುಷ್ಟೋ ನಮಾತುರ್ವುದರೇ ಮೃತಃ ಅನುಗ್ರಹಾತ್ ಭಗವತಃ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ಯಾದ್ಭುತ ಕರ್ಮಣಃ ಉವಾಚ ಯೋ ವೈದ್ರೌಣ್ಯಸ್ತ್ರ ವಿಪ್ಲುಷ್ಟೋ ನಮಾತುರ್ವುದರೇ ಮೃತಃ ಅನುಗ್ರಹಾತ್ ಭಗವತಃ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ಯಾದ್ಭುತ ಕರ್ಮಣಃ ಮತಜಿ ಸೂತ ಉವಾಚ ಯೋ ವೈದ್ರೌಣ್ಯಸ್ತ್ರ ವಿಪ್ಲುಷ್ಟೋ ನಮಾತುರ್ವುದರೇ ಮೃತಃ ಅನುಗ್ರಹಾತ್ ಭಗವತಃ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ಯಾದ್ಭುತ ಕರ್ಮಣಃ ಸೂತ ಉವಾಚ ಶ್ರೀ ಸೂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸೇಡ್ ಯಹ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ವೈ ಸಟನ್ಲಿ ದ್ರೌಣ್ಯಸ್ತ್ರ ಬೈ ದ ವೆಪನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ್ರೋಣ ವಿಪ್ಲುಷ್ಟ ಬರ್ನ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ನ ನೆವರ್ ಮಾತು ಆಫ್ ದ ಮದರ್ ಉದರೇ ಇನ್ ದ ವೂಮ್ ಮೃತ ಮೆಟ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡೆತ್ ಅನುಗ್ರಹಾತ್ ಬೈ ದ ಮರ್ಸಿ ಭಗವತ ಆಫ್ ದ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಅದ್ಭುತ ಕರ್ಮಣ ಹೂ ಆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲಿ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಪರ್ಪೋಸ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸ್ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕ್ಕೆ ಶ್ರೀ ಸೂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸೇಡ್ ಡ್ಯೂ ಟು ದ ಮರ್ಸಿ ಆಫ್ ದ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹೂ ಆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ದೋ ಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ ಬೈ ದ ವೆಪನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ್ರೋಣ ಇನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಮದರ್ಸ್ ಹೂಮ್ ಕುಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಬರ್ನ್ಡ್ ಪರ್ಪೋಟ್ ದ ಸೇಜಸ್ ಆಫ್ ನೈಮಿಷಾರಣ್ಯ ಬಿಕೇಮ್ ಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ ವಿತ್ ವಂಡರ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲ್ ಅಡ್ಮಿನಿಸ್ಟ್ರೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಎಸ್ಪೆಷಲಿ ಇನ್ ರೆಫರೆನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಹಿಸ್ ಪನಿಷಿಂಗ್ ದ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಕಲಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಮೇಕಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಅನೇಬಲ್ ಟು ಡೂ ಎನಿ ಹಾರ್ಮ್ ವಿದಿನ್ ದ ಕಿಂಗ್ಡಮ್ ಸೂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ವಾಸ್ ಈಕ್ವಲಿ ಆಂಕ್ಷಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ಸ್ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲ್ ಬರ್ತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡೆತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಸೂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಟು ಇನ್ಕ್ರೀಸ್ ದ ಇಂಟ್ರೆಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸೇಜಸ್ ಆಫ್ ನೈಮಿಷಾರಣ್ಯ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಐ ಸೀಕ್ ದ ಬ್ಲೆಸ್ಸಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ದಯಾನಂದ ಪ್ರಭು ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ವೆರಿ ಸೀನಿಯರ್ ಡಿಸೈಪಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಸಿಟಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಹೂ ಕೇಮ್ ಇನ್ 1967 He has been inspiring us with lectures in the Bhagavatam and during Brahmacharya class yesterday. And I seek your blessings, Prabhu. And I also seek blessings from my spiritual master and all the Vaishnavas here. We are beginning this 18th chapter, Parikshit cursed by a Brahmana boy. It's a very important chapter. Here, Sruta Goswami is the speaker, and Shaunakadi Rishis are the Shrotagan, hearers. So, till now he has spoken about the extraordinary valor of Parikshit Maharaja. You see, when Parikshit accepted the kingship, it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam that it is not just inherited from his grandfathers, Pandavas. Sometimes a person comes to post because he has just inherited it, although he may not be competent for the post. It wasn't like that for Parikshit. When Parikshit came to the throne, while ascending the throne, he gave out a challenge to the whole world. Is there anyone out there who wishes to fight with me? Then let's have a war. And then, if there is no one around, then only I will accept the throne. And he made such a challenge 3 times in all the 8 directions. And all the kings, every time they bowed their head and said, we are happy to pay you tribute and taxes, and we accept you as our king. This goes to show that Parikshit was the chivalrous king, and he attained his post not only by inheritance but by merit. Not only that, one day when he got a news that somewhere in his kingdom some regulative principles are being broken and cow and bull are being beaten, when he got the news through the spies, he did not wait to attend to it through his ministers or other men. He personally boarded the chariot. And then he exactly located the spot and he reached there, where he saw the cow and bull being beaten by a man dressed in black dress, wearing the crown, imitating a king. Immediately, Parikshit took his sword. He was ready to cut off his head at the same spot, at the same time. Understanding the power of the king, that man bowed, fell at the feet of king and begged him for his life. He said, I am surrendering to you, please don't kill me. According to the Kshatriya code, if someone falls at the king's feet, begs for life, or cries, or runs away, or is blind, or is a child, or is in a sleepy state, none of them should be killed. So the king, following the Kshatriya codes, forgave that foolish fellow. And he asked him, how dare you dress like a king, although you are only a Shudra, low-class fool, and you are posing like a king and beating the cow and bull, you deserve to be killed at my hand. Nevertheless, since you fell at my feet, I forgive you. But tell me the reason why you did what you did. So that is the power of Parikshit. And also, that was Kali Raj, who was actually trying to beat the cow and the bull. The cow represents Bhumi, Mother Earth. And the bull represents religion with 4 legs. Mercy, austerity, truthfulness and cleanliness. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary, when the king was going, he could see that dharma was at stake and the earth was also was pricked by exploitative leaders. So, this is not something that people who are blinded by passion and ignorance can see. Actually, a person in ignorance cannot know he is in ignorance, because for him, ignorance is bliss. Similarly, a person in passion cannot see he is in passion, because he is driven by the impulses of passion. For him, the passionate pleasure, what he considers as nectar, is actually another form of suffering. Sense gratification is synonymous to suffering, but that cannot be understood by those who are in passion. Only one who is in sattva guna can see that somebody in rajaguna and tamaguna is suffering. And the king was not in sattva guna, he was in vishuddha sattva. He was a pure devotee king. So he was looking at the world from the vantage point of the saintly people. He was a saintly king. So he was feeling pity that dharma is at stake and earth is being tormented by vicious imitating kings like Kali. And the adharmic principles or religious principles are going to be let loose now. So before that can happen, as long as I am alive as the representative of the Pandavas, I will never let that happen. I will even lay down my life to see that such religious things cannot happen in my sight as long as I am alive. That was his conviction. So there are four places he allotted for Kali to reside. Dhyutam panam striyasuna yatra adharmas chaturvida. He says adharma means there are four adharmic activities where people are doing illicit sex. Illicit sex means sex before marriage or sex outside marriage. So, and sex is only meant for begetting children to be raised in Krishna consciousness. And where there is illicit sex happening, where there is meat eating, unnecessarily injuring the poor creatures, children of God, for the taste buds, greedy taste buds. And where there is intoxication, where there is gambling. So these four places were the residences of Kali given. And of course the fifth place he gave also, which is where people hold the gold or wealth. So, and Parikshit was very intelligent. He thought, in my kingdom I will not keep these five places at all. I will make sure there is a law passed. Nobody can kill animals. Nobody can drink, smoke or take drugs. No drug peddling will be allowed. Anybody does drug peddling will be arrested. Nobody can gamble. And everybody should be in Varnashrama. Brahmachari should practice Brahmacharya. Grihastha should get married with one wife and live peacefully. And there will be no adultery or prostitution allowed in the society. So in this way, Parikshit instituted rules exactly in alignment with the scriptures. And therefore, the whole world was free from all these four vices. And world free from vice was like Vaikuntha. Because everybody was performing Sankirtan. The fifth one, he used all the gold and money for expanding the Sankirtan movement. That's what he did, intelligently. As our Dayanand Prabhu was telling, expanding Sankirtan movement means, just like you see these beautiful pictures on the walls, you know, done by Haridas Thakur Prabhu and the guidance of his own Radhanath Maharaj. Such, simply looking at these pictures, our spiritual emotions will be aroused in the heart when you look at these pictures. Similarly, there are acharyas, dharamas there outside, you see. Downstairs, one of the days I saw, there was a small Prabhupada museum, right? It's very small, but very minutely, nicely made. So going through Prabhupada's childhood, boyhood, and then his youth, and then becoming an acharya, going in Jaladuta to West, and preaching all over the world. Everything is completed in one room. So you can see, this kind of paintings, or dharamas, or temples, my spiritual master has a very great aesthetic appeal also. He will not do anything mindlessly. He will always be paying attention very meticulously. Like the sky here, and the water jet, which is very soothing in the morning when darshan opens for the pleasure of the Lord. So, and also the sound producing amplifiers are also having a light inside. Isn't it? To show that they give enlightenment to everybody. So, all these things you will see, they produce a soothing spiritual ambience that uplifts our consciousness. So that's what Parikshit did. He created such an ambience in the entire world. We are talking about one temple here. Imagine if entire Bombay would be like this. So, there is no facility for performing sinful activities. But there is facility, all facilities available for expanding our Krishna consciousness. That's what he did. He spent it all the money in that. So, in printing literatures and distributing, every citizen of Parikshit could get a copy of Bhagavad Gita, and they could get a copy of the Puranic literatures to read the pastimes of the Lord, and he arranged for dramas to be performed on the Lord's activities and pastimes. In this way, all the gold and wealth was spent in expanding Krishna consciousness. So Kali didn't find any place to reside at all. Kali was made, like he was banished from Parikshit's kingdom. So when all the Shravanakadi rishis heard this, they applauded and they said, wow, what a king. We are thrilled to hear about this king. Such a befitting king who came in the lineage of the great souls, the Pandavas. So they were very, very happily rejoicing hearing Parikshit's life. Now he is bringing another very important fact in this chapter. Parikshit becoming the king and expanding Sankirtan is not just the truth about him. There is one another very important truth which is mentioned here. He is such a special soul that during his birth, he was personally protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the war was about to be over, the Pandavas were all standing together. At that time, Uttara came running very fast. Uttara is the wife of Abhimanyu, son of Arjuna. Now, she came running. She didn't go to Pandavas. She ran to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogin, Deva, Deva, Jagatpate, Nanyam, Tadabhayam, Pashye, Yatra, Mrityu, Parasparam. She said, in great anxiety she called, Krishna, Krishna, two times she called him. Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogin, she is saying, oh, the master of all mystics. You see, yogi means a mystic person who can become smaller than an atom or bigger than the big. He can become very big, he can become very small. He can become lighter than feather. He can become heavier like a mountain. In this way, there are some powers some mystic yogis have. They can walk on water, fly on sky, they can levitate. But these kind of mystic powers present in human beings are a tiny spark of the oceanic siddhis that Krishna possesses. You will see in Trinavarta pastime, Krishna makes his body, you know, before that pastime happened, he made his body heavy like a mountain. That Yashoda couldn't keep him on the lap. She picked him and kept him on the bed. And then she was wondering, what happened to my child? It looks like some ghost has entered his body. He's become so heavy. Then she went to the kitchen and Trinavarta demon came in the form of a whirlwind. And Krishna became immediately light like a feather so that Trinavarta can carry him easily. And Trinavarta came, zoom, like that. He took him very fast. Zoom, 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 took up in the sky. Because Krishna desired to go up in the sky and see the beauty of Vrindavan, he wanted to see which devotee is doing what seva, different parts of Vrindavan. So he went up in the sky and from there he was seeing an aerial view, like a bird's eye view. And he was enjoying that. And the demon was going up, 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 up in the sky. And then Krishna suddenly worried that my mother will be in anxiety now. All gopis will be crying for me. So let me not put them in too much anxiety. So he caught hold of his neck and the foolish demon thought that this child is catching out of fear because I am taking him to great height, he was thinking. Sometimes the children hold on to parents out of fear. But little did he know that he is squeezing his neck. Krishna squeezed his neck and his eyes popped out and he brought him crashing to ground by increasing his weight again. And the demon was so badly crashed that nobody could count the bones also after that. But Krishna was quite safe. Not even a scratch on his body. So Nanda Baba appreciated that point. So, but why am I telling you this? Because Krishna can become heavier than the heaviest, lighter than the lightest, correct now? And he is the source of all the mystic powers, which he gives to human beings in a small proportion. Krishna is called as Yogeshwar. And Shiva is called as Yogeshwar. Amongst all the yogis, Shiva is the leader, Mahayogi we call. But even that Mahayogi gets his yogi powers from Yogeshwar, Krishna. By meditating on Krishna, he gets the powers. So, In this way, Krishna is the source of all. Therefore, she is calling, Krishna Krishna Mahayogin, Deva Deva Jagatpate. She is saying that you are the Lord of all Lords. Just like in India, we have so many chief ministers, but there is only one prime minister. Similarly, there are 33 crore devatas, but there is only one supreme, which is Krishna. Ekalaishwara Krishna, Arasabha Bhratya. So, therefore she went to him. She didn't go to anybody else. She knew Pandavas are very chivalrous. Yudhishthira was known for javelin throwing. Bhima was known for mace fighting. Arjuna was known for archery. Nakula Sahadeva in sword fighting. It is not that she is not aware. She knew that this danger I am facing now, nobody can sort it out easily. Because two Brahmastras were sent by Ashwatthama. One towards the womb of Uttara to kill the posthumous child, the last child in the dynasty, which is Parikshit. And another Brahmastra was sent towards the five Pandavas to destroy the Pandavas. And both were sent by Ashwatthama. Therefore, she is running to Krishna. Krishna Krishna Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagatpate Nanyam Tvadabhayam Pashye. If somebody is in danger and one is feeling fear and one rushes to Krishna's lotus feet, he is the most fortunate soul. Rather than if one is trying to fight back by one's own ability. There is one similar verse in Gajendra also. It says, that verse also says something very similar. That verse says also that if somebody is bhitam prapannam paripati adubhayat, it says, if somebody is frightened by the dangers in this world, they rush to Lord the lotus feet, they are very blessed souls. Because in this world, nobody can save anybody other than the Lord. And if Lord wishes that somebody should die, they should die, they will die. Lord wishes somebody survive, they will survive. Because everything ends with the Lord. There is nothing beyond Him. As He says, Matta Paratharam Nanyat. So going to the Lord is the most intelligent thing one can do. So she ran to the Lord. Deva Deva Jagatpate. Nanyam Tabat Abhayam Pashye. Chatra Mrityu Parasparam. Death has come. I am not worried about my life, my Lord. But this last child is very important. Because the Pandavas are getting old. They will retire now. Who will rule the world? She was also concerned about the protection of the dynasty and the protection of the people of the world. But this child is going to become the successor of the Pandavas. She said, protect this child. You may not protect me, but protect this child. Just like Vijayavasis brought the cows and calves, putting them in the front, they requested Krishna to protect the cows. So they were not worried about themselves. They are also offering a similar prayer. Krishna Krishna Mahabhagatvannatam Gokulam Prabho Tratumarhasi Devan Kupitat Bhaktavatsalaha. O Bhaktavatsala Govinda, we have come to you because one demigod has become angry on us. Please sort that fellow out. Like that they said. They didn't even mention Indra's name, you can imagine. Indra is actually the chief of the demigods. They didn't bother to take his name, even once. But Krishna's name they called twice. Let's see, what does that show? They are in ecstasy in calling Krishna's name twice. And Indra's name, they are saying Kupitad, but one demigod has become angry, they are saying. There are 33 crore fellows, you know who is that fellow. So, in this way, going to the Lord's lotus feet is natural for any devotee in such dangers. And at that time, Kunti Maharani was observing Krishna sitting in the chariot. What is he going to do now? Guess what he did? Do you think he immediately had to catch his dhoti and run? No. He never even had to shake his body or get up. He was just sitting and smiling. And then he cancelled one Brahmastra which was aimed at the Pandavas with his chakra. And somebody may say, my dear sir, war is not yet over. How did you use your chakra? You promised that you will not use the weapons. Shame upon you. Somebody may say, Krishna said, think whatever you want. I don't care a fig about it. I don't want to be labeled as a worldly moralist. I don't want to be called as a worldly moralist just because I had to be immoral. Imagine if Krishna told the Pandavas, my dear Pandavas, I would have saved you. Only problem is I have taken a vow that I cannot lift a weapon. So therefore, at last you all have to be killed. What can I do? He didn't say like that. He took his chakra and finished the Brahmastra. He wanted to be known as a Bhakta Vatsala Govinda, not as a worldly moralist, Prabhupada says. Even if people label him as immoralist, he doesn't care, because protecting devotees is of paramount importance for him. So this shows one interesting phenomenon. In this world, many demigods give you a shelter, but they will not give you protection. But Krishna is a special personality, the Supreme Lord, who will give us protection and correction, both. For example, when Parvati was sitting in one meeting along with Shiva, the demigods were discussing that very soon Lord Rama is, you know, waging a war against Ravan and Ravana will be destroyed. Parvati immediately said, my dear husband, your eyes are closed and you are sitting in Samadhi on Vasudeva. What is this? Did you hear what they are talking? Shiva asked, what are they talking? They are saying, your devotee Ravana is going to be destroyed. She said, what can I do? Vinashakale, Viparita Buddhi. He may claim to be my devotee, but he is turning against the Lord. Now I cannot save him anymore. He has to be destroyed. So in this way, Shiva gave up Ravana. And Brahma also gave so many benedictions to Hiranyakashipu. When the time came, when the pillar broke open and out came Lord Narasimha with a half-man, half-lion form. When Lord picked up, do you think Brahma came running to help Hiranyakashipu? Brahma was just watching what's happening. In front of Brahma and all the demigods, Lord picked up that fellow and tore his belly apart, and Brahma didn't say a word. In fact, Brahma was afraid that I should not have given all these benedictions. Lord was roaring, is it? So demigods may give you benedictions, but they will not be available for you around to protect you and save you at the time of danger. Whereas you will never find Krishna will let his devotee be exploited. He will immediately be available. You will see that Draupadi was about to be exploited for her, man. In the public assembly, she was to be disrobed. Krishna immediately supplied unlimited sari for her. You will see that. Isn't it? Similarly, you will find when it comes to Pandavas, even though they were in the forest like Kamyakavan, Vrishakapavan and all those forests, even in difficult times of the Pandavas, Krishna would often come and meet them. Later on, when Arjuna was very demotivated in the beginning of the battle, Krishna became his charioteer and he gave him the motivation to stick to the duty and not forego the duty, isn't it? And then when Arjuna was willing to have a dialogue with Krishna, then Krishna offered him expert instructions in the form of Bhagavad Gita. He became a philosopher, a friend turned into philosopher. And after hearing the philosophy, when Arjuna became ready to fight the battle, then Krishna became his guide. And he was guiding all through the battle 18 days. You can see that. So Krishna became a guide, he became a motivator, he became a friend, he became a philosopher, he became a support to the Pandavas in all respects. He became the best mentor for them. Therefore it is said one mentor is worth an entire army, it is said. Entire army is useless. One lion is better than 1,000 sheep, isn't it? If one lion roars, 1,000 sheep will run away, isn't it? So, therefore Arjuna chose Krishna. He knew he is the Supreme Lord. Having Supreme Lord on his side, that choice he made was the most intelligent choice. It's like choosing one against zeros. So, in this way, the Pandavas were intelligent to make the right choice of being on Krishna's side. So, you will find the Lord is always there to protect his devotee in very difficult situations also. Like in the war, one of the days, Arjuna had taken a vow that if I cannot kill Jayadratha, I will enter fire. So Duryodhana had told Jayadratha that you never come outside. We will hide you inside in such a manner that we will make a vyuha arrangement of the phalanx that Arjuna can nowhere come anywhere near you. If we can somehow keep him in bay all day, then at the end of the day, he will enter fire. And that is the easiest way we can see Arjuna die. Otherwise, for us to kill him is not very easy. That was their plan. And it's a very long story cut short. At the end of the day, Arjuna thought he is going to be finished. So, Lord Krishna He knows how to protect his devotee in the most difficult times. He blocked the sun with his chakra in a way just like the eclipse happens. Everything became dark. And Krishna told Arjuna to hit Jayadratha. Anybody would hesitate. But Krishna told, don't think the sun has gone down. Sun is just covered. So you do the business. And when Jayadratha came out laughing loudly that the day is over and Arjuna has to enter fire, so Krishna told him to hit. And also Krishna gave a clue. He told him, when you are hitting his head, if his head falls on the ground, then your head will split into 1,000 pieces. That is the benediction Jayadratha's father had given. So his name was Vriddhakshatra. Vriddhakshatra is the father of Jayadratha. So Krishna said, you hit his head in such a way that the head will fly and go and fall at the lap of his father Vriddhakshatra, who is doing Sandhya Vandan, because it's evening time. When Krishna was about to block the sun, his father started coming Sandhya Vandan. He said, exactly, it should fall in his lap. As soon as it fell in his lap, his father was wondering, what is this? He got up. And when the head fell on the ground, his head blew off. So he was the one who gave that dangerous benediction to his son, and that same benediction caused his own death. So all this guidance was given by whom? Who gave the guidance? It's Krishna. You can see that. So Krishna, you know, he destroys the vishyas, the evil people, and he establishes the dharma. He protects his devotees. So now somebody may say, what if Krishna's devotees do blunders? Then Krishna will protect them by correcting them. Just like you can see how Krishna corrected Indra after the Govardhan Leela. You will find Indra was ready to forego his post by putting down his helmet at the feet of Krishna. Krishna said, Indra, you may go now. You don't have to give up your post, but you have to give up your pride. He thoroughly insulted Indra without having to fight a war against him by lifting the Govardhan hill, that too with his tiny finger, very easily. So that is why the word is used here. If you see, Krishna's Yadbhuta Karmanaha, fourth line. Adbhuta Karmanaha means his activities are all marvelous. Because nobody can even budge a mountain a millimeter, but here Krishna is lifting the mountain, that too not with both the hands, with the left hand, and not only with the left hand palm, but with his left hand tiniest of the finger. You can see that. So he performs this Adbhuta Karma and offering shelter, like an umbrella, offering shelter to people in the rainy season. Like that he offered shelter. A very marvelous activity he performed like this. So this word Adbhuta is coming in Bhagavatam in many places. Tam Adbhutam Balakamam Bhujekshanam. Like that there is a verse in the 10th canto. So Tam Adbhutam Balakam. Krishna is not ordinary Balak. What Balak? What Balak? Adbhuta Balak. What is so Adbhutam about him? Because the children are born with no hair in their head. But Krishna had curly locks of hair when he was born. Children are born with a nude body, with no dress. But Krishna was born with Pitambar dress. And children generally cry when they are born. And if they don't cry, the doctor will give a slap to the child to make it cry. You know that? The child is supposed to cry. But what was Krishna doing when he was born? What do you think he was doing? He was smiling. He was smiling. Not only that, he was having four hands. You know, Shankha Chakra, Gada Padma. He was holding all those weapons. That's how he appeared very beautifully. And his body was decorated with ornaments. Have you ever seen a child born with ornaments? He was having all the necklace and, you know, armlets, bracelets, everything. So he was born with such beauty. Not only that, when Lord appeared like that, generally, the child cannot speak or, you know, recognize much up to the age of 2 or 2.5 or 3. You have seen that? But here you find Krishna is speaking to the parents. Oh, mother and father, you were Prishni and Sutapa before. I came as Prishnigarbha. Later on you came as Aditi Kashyapa. I came as Vamana. Now you have come as Devaki and Vasudev. Now I have become Vasudev. So two previous births also he reminded them. One time we were in Kumbh Mela One small kid got lost. It was about 4 years or 5 years and was crying like anything. So we brought it to the ISKCON booth and we put him on the table top, asking, is there any parents around? No parents are around. The child was crying. We asked him, what's your name? He keeps crying. What's your parents' name? He doesn't know. How can the child be handed over? Some parent lost the child. But the father was a smart fellow. What he had done, he had put the mobile number in the shirt of the child. So he found one long number. Then he took the number and clicked it, and immediately father came and picked up. So child cannot even tell father's name after 4 or 5 years sometimes. But Krishna is talking about mother and father's name and previous lives on the day of his appearance. Therefore, he is Adbhuta Balakam. You will see that. And when he is born, the whole jail is lit up with bright light emanating from his body. His Aditya Varnam, like a sunlight. Not only that, many more Adbhutam things he did. You know, when his father picked him up, the chains were torn asunder and the doors automatically opened. The watchmen were put to sleep. Many, many miracles happened. And Anand Shrish came and gave him protection. At every step, you will see his Adbhutam. So his birth is very wonderful. His speech is very mysterious and wonderful. His activities are all very wonderful. You will see in another place, Adbhuta Karmana is mentioned. Yes, at one time Krishna thought that the war is about to end. Now, the grandsire Bhishma is lying in the arrow bed. So he is waiting for the Uttarayan to start. So he wants to, he will leave the body on 14 January, isn't it? Sankranti time. So before he leaves the body, I want to give him the pleasure that Pandavas have ascended to the throne. Because he has a soft heart for the Pandavas. He always aspired to see them rule the world. Because they are the righteous ones. They are pure devotees of Krishna. So let me give him the joy by taking the Pandavas to him. That was one of his ambitions. See, we all have our own ambition. And we have, our ambition is often centered around ourselves. But Krishna's ambition is to please the heart of his pure devotees. He's thinking how to give pleasure to Bhishma's heart. And also he thought, Bhishma is the most learned personality in the entire Kaurava dynasty. And most elderly also, mature. And he knows about the duties of a king in the Shanti Parva. If you see, Bhishma gives such amazing clues on how to recruit a leader. I was recently reading, he says that if any of you, you are president of a temple, say you want to choose HODs, head of the department for your temple. Five qualities he is saying, Bhishma, to register. Easy to remember. ICHOD. You can remember this. ICHOD. Five qualities. First, he should be intelligent in his area, competence in his area. That's the first one. I for intelligence. C for character. And character means how he deals with women and money and all those things. And whether he is able to combine boldness and sensitivity. That is character. Then I see H stands for honesty. He should be transparent. And O for obedience to the king. And to the saintly people. So, and D for dutiful. Dutiful means responsible. Committed. So it's I see HOD. These five qualities he says. That's why you should choose somebody for any department. So once I learned this, now I am finding out who is the fellow having this. When you are spotting out leaders for any department. Correct, no? So like this, he gives many clues. Bhishma, very intelligent. So Krishna thought that if I take the Pandavas to him, then there can be a KT, knowledge transfer. Because now he is guiding the whole Kuru dynasty. Now let him give it all to Yudhishthira, who will be the successor to him. Plus, one very important thing. Because he is going to leave the body, I want Bhishma to experience the highest state of blissful Krishna consciousness by glorifying me. So, let him get an opportunity. So, you should, when we are leaving the body, our consciousness should be so sublime that it should be withdrawn from material clutter. And it should be absorbed in the spirit soul's loving relationship with the Lord. So, he wanted to give him an opportunity for that. So, in this way, in order to do this, Krishna did one Adbhuta Karma. You know what he did? He made Yudhishthira start crying. So one fellow cried in the beginning of battle, one fellow cried after the battle. Who knows who cried before the battle? Arjuna. And from his crying, what came out? Bhagavad Gita came out. Now another person cried after the battle. Who cried? Yudhishthira. And from his crying, something miraculous will happen subsequently. When great souls cry, something good comes out. Like Vyasadeva feels despondency, Bhagavatam came out. And Devahuti felt despondent. She said, I am solidly cheated because I didn't take advantage of my spiritual husband, Kardamuni. When she cried, Kapila Shiksha came out. Subsequently, you will see that. So, when great souls cry, don't think it's ordinary. Something great will come out from that. So, then Krishna pacified them, saying that, you are not the cause of the war. I told all of you Pandavas to fight a righteous battle. It's a Dharma Yuddha. Yudhishthira was not pacified. Then Krishna told him to go to Vedavyas. Vedavyas couldn't pacify. Other sages couldn't pacify. Then Krishna said, let us go to Bhishma. So Krishna wanted to declare to the world that Bhishma is more knowledgeable than me also. And that was his nature. So in that purport, Prabhupada writes, the super soul in the heart of Yudhishthira told him not to become convinced by Krishna's preaching. So Krishna is, inside Krishna is telling him not to get convinced. Outside Krishna is trying to pacify Yudhishthira. So that is his Adbhuta Karma. So because Krishna has a plan, a grand plan for everybody. So when they went to the battlefield, Bhishma was in tears, joyful tears, seeing the Pandavas decorated in gorgeous dresses and ornaments coming in golden chariots. And when they sat around him, Bhishma was so rejoiced, greatly rejoicing, and spoke to them. He spoke to them in a way that Yudhishthira became pacified. Plus, Yudhishthira learned everything, Raja Dharma, Stri Dharma, Varnashrama Dharma, all the dharmas he learned from him. And then Bhishma said, enough of it all now. Now I am going to meditate on my beautiful Lord in my heart. I am going to leave the body now. So no more questions, he said. But Yudhishthira said, sir, one last question. And then, what is your question? Then he asked four brilliant spiritual questions. He asked, Kimekam daivatam lokekam vapyekam parayanam stuvantakam kamarchanta prapnuyurmana vashubham kodharma sarvadharmanam bhavataha paramomataha kim japan muchyate jantur janma samsara bandhanat. He asked four questions. First question was, tell me the name of one Supreme Lord by worshipping whom? Kim ekam daivatam loke? Kim vap ekam parayanam? Whom I should worship? And second one is asking, by worshipping whom one will attain all auspiciousness? Stuvantakam, whom should I praise? Kam archanta, whom should I do archana for? Prapnu yurmana vashivam, I will get all auspiciousness in my life. And kodharma sarvadharmanam bhavataha paramo. He's saying, amongst all the dharmas which you spoke to me now, which is the ultimate dharma, he's asking. And last one is asking, kim japan muchyate jantur, by chanting whose name? Janma samsara bandhanat. All living beings can be liberated from this material world and they can go back to Godhead. So when Bhishma heard these four questions, his heart started jumping in ecstasy. He said, these questions are so nice, Yudhishthira. I can speak for hours and hours on this. He lost all his tiredness because now no more mundane questions. He is going to speak about Krishna now. In this way, having heard these questions, Bhishma spoke watching Krishna's beauty. Krishna is sitting right in front of him, smiling at him. Tribhuvana kamanam tamala varanam ravikara gauravarambaram dadhane papuralaka kulavritananabjam vijayasake ratirastumena vadya. This is one of the verses Bhishma spoke. Look at my Lord, he is looking like a tamal tree. He's bluish, like a bluish sapphire. His eyes are like lotus petals. And his pitambara is shining like sun. And so nice, I am so fortunate that he's sitting in front of me. I can glorify him, seeing him. Because I am his unflinching servitor, he has come at the time of my death, he said. In this way, you will see, Bhishma spoke this, Vishnu Sahasranama. That means from Yudhishthira's lamentation, what came out? Vishnu Sahasranama came out. In this way, Krishna performs Adbhuta Karma. There's another word, I don't have time to explain this, the third line. Anugrahat Bhagavataha. What is this anugrahat? Anugrahat means mercy. By the mercy. How does the Lord show His mercy? Even if Krishna gives you a material benediction, that is mercy. You may think, oh, that's correct. I wanted a scooter, Krishna gave me a scooter. It's mercy. I am not saying in that sense. I am saying in another sense. Satyam dishatyartitamartitonrinam naivartado yat punarartitayataha swayam vidatte bhajatam anichatam ichapidanam nijapada pallavam. You see, this verse says, does the Supreme Lord award material benediction? Somebody may ask a question. Answer is yes or no? Answer is yes, he says. But then what is the difference between him and the demigods? They also give material benediction. Krishna gives material benediction. Then what is the difference? There is a gulf of difference between the two. What is the difference? When Krishna gives material benedictions, you will not go to him for the second time asking for any more material benedictions after that. It's guaranteed that you will lose the taste for all material benedictions. You will never ask him. Why? Because he will give you the nectar of his lotus feet. By drinking that honey, one will lose all attraction for material enjoyment. And that happened to Dhruva. When Dhruva saw the lotus feet of Vishnu, he lost all his material taste. Like you hear the story of that, there was one Daku Bhagat who was running away from police. You know, and then he saw that the police is chasing, he's going to be caught, so he entered into some temple. There was some Lord Vishnu's temple, worship was going on, and Bhagavatam class like this was going on. He sat behind. He saw all the people were wearing tilak, so he also went and put tilak to look like a devotee. So he was very much afraid police should not come inside. And the police didn't come. Police went straight. But after the class, he was the one who had a question. He asked a question because he heard very attentively. So the speaker had spoken about Krishna and Vrindavan. He said that Krishna was wearing very, very beautiful jewelry, necklaces, you know, earrings, and you know, he was wearing bangles and bracelets and armlets and everything. So he thought, it seems that Krishna wears a lot of gold and silver jewelry and diamond and everything. I can get a big booty if you go to Krishna. So he noted the address of Krishna. Krishna and Vrindavan and the bank of Yamuna, Kadamba tree, and all that. He noted everything very carefully. And then he wanted to confirm it from the speaker whether he noted it correctly. He had faith in Krishna more than the speaker also. And then he went to Vrindavan remembering all these names. And then when he went to the bank of Yamuna, see, you get what you are looking for in this world. There is another saying, you are where your mind is, it is said. If my mind is chasing after Krishna, I will get Krishna. If my mind is chasing after Maya, I will get Maya. Because his mind at that time was chasing after Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. It was Krishna Maya completely. So then he went to the bank of Yamuna, he got Krishna there. Krishna was alone. Krishna purposefully kept alone. Krishna will never be alone. For the sake of pastime, he was alone. Because the thief has to meet him alone. Otherwise, Krishna is always surrounded by his covered boys or cows, calves, everything. So, seeing Krishna, he went close to him and looked at him. Oh, so many ornaments he's wearing. It's true. What he spoke is true. So, he just purchased a 2 rupee banana. He thought, I will give a 2 rupee banana and take away a 20 lakh rupees necklace. That was his idea. So, of course, you give anything lovingly to Krishna, he will happily accept. When he gave the banana to Krishna, and Krishna said, oh, that's nice. So he opened the banana, Krishna started eating, and this fellow put his hand in the necklace of Krishna. At that time Krishna said, oh, that you cannot take, because Mother Yashoda will ask me, where is your necklace? Krishna said, so as soon as Krishna touched him, this fellow got a big shock. He fell to the ground, he started rolling on the ground, weeping, crying. Krishna said, don't cry so much. If you are so much crying, then I'll give away the necklace, don't worry. He said, I don't want the necklace. Then what do you want? Bangles. Take the bangles. He said, I don't want the bangles. Take the bracelets. No, I don't want that. You want my Nupur? Ankle belts. He said, I don't want. Then what do you want? Do you want all of this together? He said, all of it, I don't want. He said, then what do you want? He said, I want only you. He said, because I have obtained you, I don't aspire for anything else. And then from that moment on, that fellow went on to become a pure devotee, living in the bank of Yamuna all his life. you know, witnessing the beautiful pastimes of Krishna. So, in this way, that this is also kripa of Krishna. What is the special kripa? You go to him for material benediction and he gives you ami vignya, what is it? Yayi murka vishekana diva, swa charanamrita diya, vishay bulaiva. He will make us forget the material, mirage, material chasing out the material mirage. So that is his actual kripa. And his kripa comes in varieties of ways. I am just going to say one verse and conclude my class today. You see, you all know this famous verse. Tatte nukampam susamikshamano bunjana yevatmakritam vipakam fritvatva purver viradam namaste jivetayo mukti padesadayabhag. So in this verse, there is a very amazing word hidden in this word, on acronym. Who is a great devotee? This verse explains. So, G-R-E-A-T, you can remember. The first word, tatte anukampam. They always are grateful for mercy coming from Krishna in any form. The devotee's nature is, even if Krishna gives me suffering, it's for my good he is giving. Like for example, the Jarasandha had a jail where more than 20,700 the kings were arrested, you know. They all wrote a letter to Krishna. Please come and protect us. So one day Krishna appeared in front of the jail door opened, and all the Jarasandha's jail kings were arrested by Jarasandha. They were all supposed to be put in an Narabali, in a very big fire sacrifice. They were saved by Krishna. But when the jail door opened, seeing Krishna, they cried tears of joy. They said, Na natavanu suyami. They said, we are not envying Jarasandha and we don't have any hatred for him anymore. They said, why? Because he brought us here, we are getting your darshan. And he has given us your mercy, they said. So we want to actually salute and thank Jarasandha for bringing us in the jail. Otherwise we were such a proud egomaniacs, we would have never got your darshan in our lives. So he smashed our pride, made us humble, made us fall at your feet and gave us your darshan. Therefore, he has been merciful to us, they said. So this is the first thing, gratitude for mercy coming in any form. Pain or pleasure, honor or dishonor. If somebody insults me, that reminds me of Krishna. That means that is Krishna's mercy. First one, tatte anukampam, that anukampa is gratitude. One should be grateful for the Krishna's anukampa. Susamikshamano, that is expectation. We should always maintain expectation. When will the day come when Guru and Krishna will be pleased with me? When will the day come when I will see Krishna's lotus feet? Like Nayanam Galadashudharya, in that verse he is asking. Kada he is asking. Kada means what? When, isn't it? Nayanam Galadashudharya, Vadanam Gadgadaruddaya Gira, Pulaka Inichitamba Pukkada, Tavanam Agrihane Bhavishyati. So, I'm chanting the holy name. When will my chanting of the holy name become inoffensive? When will I be able to chant the pure name? When will a day come when there will be genuine feelings with which I can chant the holy name and not do drama of chanting? So, in this way, one should have expectation always. So, that is expectation. So, sumiksha mana means samutkanta, with great eagerness awaiting the Lord's Lord to come to us. Third one, bhunjana means ready to tolerate any kinds of pains which may come in devotional service. Sometimes in the course of performing devotional service, we may be insulted by somebody. Prabhupada said, you know, spiritual life may be difficult while living with devotees, but material life is impossible. He said, so one should never foolishly leave the association of devotees. One should tolerate whatever troubles may be there. Some troubles may be due to our own egos. Some troubles may be because we are interacting with material nature here. But even in the middle of Sankat, Gajendra was caught by the crocodile, but he was offering flower. So we should continue our devotion service even in the midst of difficulties. That is bunjana. That means tolerance. So I told you about gratitude, expecting Lord's mercy, tolerance. Atmakratam vipakam, he is saying. That means whatever I am suffering is due to my own, you know, sinful activities. For example, if my tooth is biting my tongue sometimes, can I break my tooth? I cannot. Similarly, if I throw a ball on the wall, it will come and hit on my face. Because I only did some mistakes for which I am suffering now. Don't blame anyone. Don't blame the Lord. Don't blame the world around you. Accept. That is acceptance. A for acceptance. And next one is Hrit, Vat, Vapurbir, Vidadan Namaste. Means respecting the Lord with body, mind and words. Bowing down to Him without any reservation. So that is respect. So all these things constitute one acronym. What is it? G-R-E-A-T. G for gratitude, R for respect, E for expecting God's mercy, and A for acceptance without blaming, and T for tolerance. Then, Jiveta Yo Mukti Padesa Daiva. You become a rightful heir in getting, your place in the Lord's lotus feet by this. So, that was the mood of Parikshit. Now, we are going to read in the second, third verses. Parikshit actually was protected by the Lord in the womb of his mother. But now he is going to be put in a peculiar situation where he is going to be cursed to die in 7 days. But he did not try to reverse the situation. He was willing to accept it as Krishna's mercy. I think Krishna's call has come to take me back home, back to Godhead now. He doesn't want, if I continue here, Kali Yuga cannot continue only. There is no scope that Kali will continue. Kali Yuga will become like Satya Yuga. No? So Krishna wanted to take him out of the scene so that Kali can proceed. And also whatever has to happen will happen eventually. So on Bhagavatam will become prominent because Lord wanted to bring Bhagavatam to this world through the medium of Parikshit. So Parikshit was completely fearless and he accepted the grace of Krishna coming in his life with open arms. He welcomed it without weeping or crying or demanding Krishna to protect him. He's a real hero, huh? So, it's a very great lesson for us. In Hyderabad, there was one Mata called Barsana Rani Mataji, disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. Recently, she was detected with a 4th stage cancer. And the doctor suddenly said, as soon as he detected, he said, "Malas, this is very late detection." He said, "She will only live for a few days." As soon as she heard that news, she had a beaming smile on her face. She said, "Really? I have been reading Krishna book about Krishna going in the bank of Yamuna and the gopis are talking about Krishna's flute and what Krishna is doing in the forest. Now in the next few days I am going to see that, eye to eye. I will see Govardhan, I will see Vrindavan, I will see Kadamba trees, Krishna will be playing on the flute and cowherd boys, everything. So it's only a few days." Her son was crying, her husband was like shell shocked. She told all of them, "What is the need for crying? I got initiation in my life. And I have so many devotees around me. And every day she used to read Krishna book. She was very fond of it." She said, "Whatever truths we have been reading about spiritual world, that becomes manifest. And Prabhupada says, this is the last birth for devotees. After this, you leave the body and you go back to Krishna." So she became very delighted. And other devotees are put to great surprise. She lived only for next few days, probably 10, 12 days. She lived and she left the body. She had not even an iota of despondency. She was cheerful. I told her, "Mataji, I have to go to America on 1st January. She left the body on 8th January. She said, "Oh, Ravi Shampu, have a safe journey. You are always preaching Krishna consciousness. Simply remembering you are preaching, we are all getting energy," she was telling. So, her son was in America. He was a doctor. He couldn't come immediately because of some tied up things. But January 5th he reached and 8th January she left the body. 3 days she was with the son. In fact, the son was crying and she was giving encouragement to the son. Instead of anybody else giving encouragement to her. So in the same manner, all of us, we can learn from Parikshit Maharaj, whatever troubles will come in our life, we should face it by firmly taking shelter of Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. And that can actually make us Krishna conscious and not too much be bothered on a bodily platform. Srila Prabhupada ki, Nantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, thank you very much. Prabhu, would you like to say something, Prabhu?